you very much. I'm sorry, can I? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Sorry. Excuse me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. No, that's all right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm awfully sorry. I think you're in my seat.
What do you mean?
CC20. I have a ticket for CC20.
Well, I have a ticket for CC20. This is my seat.
And then it's our seat.
No, I was here first.
All right, you have it for the first half. I'll have it for the second half.
This is my seat.
Look, if you're going to be unreasonable about it, there's only one thing to do.
That's ridiculous.
No, I have a perfect right to be here. I have a ticket.
You do not have a ticket for my lap.
I have a ticket for what's underneath your lap.
You do not.
Yes, I do. CC20, 8 o'clock, Wednesday the 8th of May.
That was yesterday.
Nonsense.
What have you come to see, then?
Anthony and Cleopatra, starring Dale Winton and Dame Judi Dench.
That was yesterday.
No, it's tonight.
In which scene in Anthony and Cleopatra is there a grand piano?
Could be Anthony and Cleopatra, the musical. What have you come to see, then?
Still Gone Skeleton.
Which one plays Cleopatra?
They play the piano.
So it is a musical?
No, they play the piano playing themselves.
You sure?
Absolutely.
Well, they're late.
Well, they're probably waiting for this incredibly noisy audience to quieten down.
If you're going to be insulting, I'm going to go and get the manager.
No, I'm
going to go and insult that. I'm awfully sorry. Thank you very much.
Terribly sorry. Excuse me.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Very good.
You can't go stage.
What? There's a vacant seat here.
That's my seat.
You know, I was here first. And I was right, look. Anthony and Cleopatra, the musical. 3, 4.
Nobody in Egypt had a chest like Cleopatra's. It looked like two Egyptian ferrets fighting in a mattress. But Antony, when offered them, decided not to choose them. So Cleopatra took a snake and let it bite her bosom.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, it's wonderful, like Butlins, isn't it? You will have noticed that we have got television cameras in this evening, and I hope that doesn't sort of interfere with anybody's enjoyment. It's just that Peter and I have been in this show for ages and ages and ages, but we've never actually seen it. We did try sitting at the back once, but it was very wooden, wasn't it?
Yes. Very slow.
Yes, very slow. So we're making a video tonight, and you have the important role of being the studio audience. You will have noticed the green gunge tanks hanging from the ceiling as you came in. Now, being a studio audience is quite tricky, so we're going to make sure you're up to this first. We're going to audition you, if we may. We're going to start with a little part singing. We're going to divide you into four choirs. They're excited, Peter.
I can
you
can see
tell.
That. Yeah.
You know, everybody's sitting on the flat bit, right? Divide down the middle. So that's choir one there and choir two there, and then everybody else in the theatre divide into choir three that side, including you lot. And four that side, including you lot. Right? So choir one, two, three, four. And what we're going to do is sing Frère Jacques. You sense the almost animal excitement running through the building. I realise that French is not yet the first language of this country. So we'll... It's Eurosceptic night, is it? Right. So we will sing slightly easier words. Peter, if you could give me an F.
Yeah, sure.
Which of those was the F? Right, jolly good. Perhaps if you could help us sort of introduce the video for people watching it at home. So the words we're going to sing are... On this tape are, on this tape are two sad blokes, two sad blokes. Seven soppy songs and seven soppy songs and three bad jokes, three bad jokes. Right, dead easy. We do it all together first, and then we will divide up and you will amaze each other, right? On this tape are one, two, three, four.
On this tape are, on this tape are two sad blokes, two sad blokes. Seven soppy songs and seven soppy songs and three bad jokes. Three bad jokes.
Oh, this is going to be so good. Right. Right, team one first. Are you ready, team one? Never mind, we'll start anyway. On this tape are one, two, three. three, four. On this tape, on this tape, two sad blokes, two sad blokes, team three.
Two sad blokes, two sad blokes, on this tape, on this tape,
again.
On this tape, on this tape, on this tape, on this tape, two sad blokes, two sad tape, on this tape, on this tape, two sad jokes. Three sad jokes, seven soppy songs, and seven soppy songs, and three bad jokes, three bad jokes.
They were last, but they were very good. Give them a round of applause. Excellent. You did that awfully well. Didn't they do that well?
They did, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You are obviously a deeply musical audience. You're in for a dreadfully disappointing evening. Peter and I have been touring around for 12 years now?
Yes, it is. This
12 year. Years. 12 years. Kids must be quite grown up.
Apparently.
Yeah. Doing the shows is huge fun. The difficult bit is after the show, as to whether you stay with friends, thus have two fewer friends in the morning, whether you go to a hotel, which is basically a very expensive way of buying soap, or whether you do... or whether you do what Peter does.
I've got a caravan. I know caravans aren't very sexy, but I'm very proud owner of a caravan. And when I can, I'd much rather wake up in my caravan in a field somewhere than yet another hotel. And caravanners are very nice people. I know we have some irritating traits, but on the whole, we're very nice people. And here is a song about some very nice caravanners.
Easy to pack caravanning instrument.
I've always been a renegade, I've always kicked at traces.
I've always loved the wilderness, the wild and open spaces. In my heart I've always known I was born under a wandering star.
So it's a crying shame I've lived my life in a bungalow in Potter's Bar. But I'm a
daring and adventurous and reckless sort of man. So for our summer holidays we bought a caravan. It's a splendid thing with lots of room and lovely moped seating and comfy beds and a cocktail bar and blown air central heating. We hitch it to the maestro and hit the open road. And now and then, just for kicks, I break the caravan code and push it to its limit. I pile on all the power and hurtle through at breakneck speed of 40 miles an hour. We never use the motorways, we love the dales and downs, and driving very slowly through all the little towns. There's never that much traffic, at least that's what we find, but surprisingly there's miles of it when we look behind. I know what makes the matter, we smirk and say tee hee. Behind us every bladder is bursting for a pee. I let them drive cross-legged until they're nearly dotty, then charge them £1.50 to use our porta potty. Oh, it's nice to have a caravan, it's a lovely thing to own. In fact, there's 17 of them on our estate alone. So buy yourself a caravan, it sets the spirit free. You park in glorious countryside, then sit and watch TV. And if the holiday goes well, there comes a moment when you cause a 5-mile tailback and you get on news of 10. Then put away the maestro, give up the caravan sport. Tomorrow it is back to work as Minister of Transport.
Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You are thinking they have been on stage for 10 minutes and Peter hasn't sung it yet. You are thinking of Peter's great song in 1972. This song was a hit all over the world. Younger members of the audience will have been conceived with this record going round on the turntable. In terms of world population, this song has a great deal to answer for. But I know it means a great deal to a lot of you, and you won't settle, you won't concentrate until Peter sings it. So we find it best to get the damn thing over with right at the beginning. So here straight away is Peter's wonderful song.
Now the evening has come to a close, and I've had my last dance with you. On to the empty streets we go,
and it might be my last chance with you. So I might as well get it over. The things I have to say won't wait until another day. You're a lady. I'm a man.
Yes?
What's that?
That's the bit where the band comes in.
The band, not that.
Yes, it is. Says so in the song.
It never does.
It does. Ukulele, I'm a man. You don't want to do
no,
that,
I don't want to.
All right, what should we do?
I think we should do a piano duet.
What, the one we know? That one.
No, we've been playing that for years. We should do a new one.
I know that one.
Yeah, but this is a new one.
I don't know that one.
Well, you'll recognise this.
I've never seen it in my life. Piano duet for one person.
There are moments in your life when great things happen to you, things that change your life forever. Like, for instance, when you fall in love for the first time, which usually happens when you're young. But it can, of course, happen that you fall in love for the first time when you're older, which is wonderful. It's just not always for the best.
Joyce the librarian, strict vegetarian, 40 and living with mum. Wears sandals and glasses, attends evening classes and wonders if romance will come. Though she'd never been kissed, it's not something she'd missed until some weeks before. When George, a Rotarian, a handsome Lotharian, walked through the library door.
George was unmarried, and the torch that Joyce carried was burning a hole in her heart. She wanted to show him, but didn't yet know him. She didn't know where to start. So with growing abhorrence, she read D.H. Lawrence to glean a few ideas. Which she turned down flat, she couldn't do that, not in a million years.
Joyce, the librarian, strict vegetarian, was burning with animal lust.
Alarming sensations, strange palpitations, a mix of delight and disgust. So she busied herself rearranging the shelf to try to control her dreams.
Joyce, the librarian, the disciplinarian, was falling apart at the seams. The very next day, she kept out of the way when George returned his books.
But with growing conviction, as he wandered through fiction, she threw him some longing looks.
And when George joined the queue, she knew what to do. She smiled and removed her specs. then looked in horror, for he'd come to borrow the further joy of sex. Perhaps because latterly she'd read Lady Chatham, something went snap in her head. She gave herself gladly, wildly, madly that night to George in his bed. But then just as she feared, George disappeared, some other librarian to woo. Now there's a sob in her voice, for both book and Joyce are a fortnight overdue.
That's the saddest song we've ever written, that, tell me.
Old MacDonald had a farm, B.S., B.S.E. Didn't mean to do no harm, B.S., B.S.E. But the cows ate cows and the bulls ate bulls. Here a cow, there a bull, everywhere a cannibal. Old MacDonald had a farm, B.S., B.S.E. Old MacDonald had a farm, C.J., C.J.D. Didn't mean to cause alarm, C.J., C.J.D. But the cows ate cows and the bulls ate bulls, and the cows went mad and the beef went bad. Here a Mac, there a Mac, everywhere a Big Macs, Dirty Macs, everywhere a Mad Max. Old MacDonald on his farm fed Buttercup to Daisy. It's the difference at MacDonald's drives you crazy. They built a tunnel underneath the sea, so everyone would have a chance to spend the night of love in gay Paris, or have their lorries burnt in France. Without a second glance, that was their big mistake. The tunnel goes to France. We used to be a happy island race. You had to go abroad by ship. Then someone went and stuck a tube in place. Now we're an island on a drip. They've got us in their grip, and by some sad mischance, it joins us up to France. We like the Belgians and we like the Dutch. We're quite familiar with the Latin touch. But do we like the French? Well, frankly, not that much. We hate the French, it's what the French are for. We fought them for a thousand years or more. It seems so logical, they only live next door. They built a tunnel underneath the sea to send their rabid foxes here, so they could take away our currency and make us drink their weedy beer. It tastes a little queer, so put the cork back in and leave it there, and give us back La Mer.
La Mer.
They built a tunnel underneath the sea,
qu'on voit danser,
so everyone would have a chance
to
spend a night of love in gay Paris.
A des reflets,
or have the lorries burnt in France. Without a second glance, that was the big mistake. The tunnel goes to France. We used to be a happy island.
Au ciel d'été,
you had to go abroad by ship.
Then
someone went and stuck a tube in place.
Avec les anges,
now we're an island on a trip.
La
they got us in their grip, and by some sad mischance, it joins us up to France.
Oh, yeah.
We like the Belgians and we like the Dutch. We're quite familiar with the Latin touch. But do we like the French? Well, frankly, not that much. We hate the French, it's what the French are for.
We
fought for a thousand years or more. It seems so logical, they only live next door. They built tunnel underneath the sea.
Les a bercés.
To send their rabid foxes here.
Des
so they could take the weather and
see. And
they could drink their weedy beer. It tastes a little queer. Slot the course back in and leave it there. And give us back la mer.
You'll notice that every now and then Peter has to nip off and have his medication topped up. You're probably thinking by now, we could have gone out for a perfectly decent meal this evening. And if you had, according to the catering industry, 82% of you would have ordered the same thing. Now, I don't believe this either. But they did this survey. Well, they didn't ask you, they didn't ask me, they didn't ask anybody any of us has ever met. But as a result of this survey, caterers believe that 82% of people in restaurants always have this.
First the prawn cocktail slides over the lips, followed at once by the steak and the chips. Now to decide what to have for the sweet. What's on the trolley that's jolly to eat? It all looks delicious, but just coffee, please. Take it away, put it in the deep freeze. Unless, oh, I'd missed it, it's there, my great vice. I cannot resist it, just the tiniest slice. Black Forest Gatto is good for you, with E407 and E102. Black Forest Gatto, as black as your hat, oh, there's nothing so healthy and good for you. Out in Bavaria, see the Hausfraus whipping the cream from Bavarian cows, adding the cocoa, the sugar and flour. Cook at Mark 5 for a half of an hour. This one will never reach Sainsbury's shelves. This is the one that they keep for themselves. The Black Forest Gatto they sell you and me is polystyrene ceiling tiles flavoured with E. Black Forest Gatto is good for you with E407 and E102. Black Forest Gatto, as black as your hat, oh, there's nothing so healthy and good for you. It's stiff with cholesterol, sugar and fat. It narrows your arteries right down to that. It gives you a migraine, angina and plaque. You'd get far more goodness from eating the pack. But still people cry after seafood and steak. Give me a slice of the fatherland's cake. Turn up the sound on the old Gatto blaster. Sing it again, only louder and faster. Monosodium glutamate. Black Forest Gatto is good for you. Best before May 1972. Black Forest Gatto, as black as your hat-o. Flavoured with pedigree, doggo or cat-o. Serve in the schloss, in the palace or chateau. Black Forest Gatto is good for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. For the next couple of minutes, I'd like you to imagine that I'm a nurse. Right, I haven't been a nurse up to now, but I'm a nurse for this bit, because this is a poem about doctors and nurses and how they always fall in love with each other. Which they do, because they're the only healthy people they ever meet. So for this bit, I'm a nurse, right? I loved a surgeon once, but he turned out to be a lout. To start with, it was tricky getting him to take me out. He said that taking bits of people out, he'd often done, but never had he taken out a person all in one. He took me out to dinner and complained the meat was tough. He sent back 7 table knives, said they weren't sharp enough. I said, come back for coffee, and he came, but wasn't keen. He looked all round the bedroom to make sure that it was clean. I lay in bed and waited as I sipped my coffee cup. He came in from the bathroom and he'd finished scrubbing up. I caught my breath. No girl expects to see the man she loves in back-to-front pyjamas and a pair of rubber gloves. With skillful hands, he felt my pulse and listened to my heart, but didn't seem particularly desperate to start. I said to him, "Don't hesitate." And then the little creep said, "I'm sorry, but I can't begin until you've gone to sleep." At that, I turned my back on him and must have nodded off. I woke up 8 hours later, had a fag and a good cough, and noticed him. I said, "Are you still here?" He answered, "Yes." And last night's operation, I may say, was a success. "Get out," I said, "get out, away, go, get out of my sight. At least nobody else knows what a fool I was last night." At that, the surgeon smiled and said, "That's where you're wrong, my friend." The 20 students watching all applauded at the end. Well, in that case, here's another poem. This is a poem about Glyndebourne, which is basically a much more expensive night out than this one. And I put it in because my wife used to sing at Glyndebourne. My wife was an opera singer, and I used to stand in the wings listening to her and envying her and wishing I could sing like that. A bit lower, perhaps, but... Anyway, I stood for some months. I stood in the wings at Glyndebourne for nothing. And as a result, got a good look at a lot of the people who go to Glyndebourne for a lot of money. And they go for odd reasons. They don't always go for the opera at the beginning and the end of the evening, but quite often they go for the picnic. And this is a poem about four people who are going to Glyndebourne. Mummy, her son Giles, an American businessman, and a brigadier. "We are going to Glyndebourne. My dear, what a treat. With Giles's fiancée, who's terribly sweet. And frightfully cultured, she's seen Hedda Gabler and five guys named something and Les Miserables. I've made us a picnic. There's lobster mornay and a brie that's so runny it may get away. My goodness, what bliss with a glass of shampoo. What opera? My darling, I haven't a clue. I'm going to Glyndebourne. Oh, God, what a bore. Standing there in a DJ at 3:45. But Mummy and Wonky have said that I must, because this terrible Yank from the Guaranteed Trust has some business with Daddy, so Muggins must go. We'll butter him up till he coughs up the dough. Still, Wonky enjoys it. She's turned on by Strauss. Hope that it lasts till we're back at the house. I'm going to Glyndebourne. I'm not certain why, but I'm doing some business with this English guy whose company's sponsoring one of their shows where a girl meets this guy who has this silver rose. Der Rosenkavalier. That was the title. I read it all up because this deal's pretty vital. They must think so too, because they managed to make someone find me a seat. I hope I stay awake. I'm going to Glyndebourne, Der Rosenkavalier, alone, for poor Molly died early this year. We'd been trying for years, but we couldn't get seats. We both love the opera, it's one of our treats. But we'd never been here. Then this year we got two, and she died, so I sent one back. I wonder who will be sitting beside me, some opera buff who's been going for years and who can't get enough. I hope he enjoys it as much as she would. I might tell him about her. Do you think that I should? It was one of her favorites, Der Rosenkavalier. She would have enjoyed it. I wish she was here."
Somehow I can't step away. See, I want to be adored more than you love.
it alone. So don't be persistent, babe, keep your distance. You know my resistance. They seem to say, come closer, my darling, come closer. Somehow I can't slip away. See, I want to be adored more than you'll ever know. I'm gone overboard with a capital O. So don't be persistent, babe, keep your distance. You know my resistance is.
Thank you very much. That, as I'm sure you all know, was a song by Hoagy Carmichael, one of my favourite songwriters. I'm going to do another one of his now. He used to write with various lyricists. He also used to write lyrics on his own, too. But this next song he wrote with Johnny Mercer. And I'm not sure which one of them it was who wrote the opening line, but this song contains the best opening line of any song ever written.
Long as there's chicken gravy on your rice, everything is nice. Long as there's watermelon on the vine, everything is fine. You got no time to work, no time to play, busy doing nothing all live long day. You won't ever change no matter what I say. You're just sleeping in the sun. How you gonna get your day's work done? Never get your day's work done. Sleeping in the noonday sun. Lazy bones, sleeping in the shade. How you gonna get your cornmeal made? Never get your cornmeal made. Sleeping in the evening shade. Potatoes need spraying, the bit you keep praying, the bugs just fall off the vine. And when you go fishing, I bet you keep wishing fish won't grab at your line. Lazy bones, sleeping through the day, I gonna make a dime that way. Never make a dime that way. Never hear the word I say. Potatoes need spraying, I bet you keep praying, the bugs just fall off the vine. And when you go fishing, I bet you keep wishing fish won't grab at your line. Lazy bones, sleeping through the day, I gonna make a dime that way. Never make a dime that way. Never hear the word I say.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now the evening has come to a close, and I've had my last dance with you. Onto the empty streets we go, and it might be my last chance with you. So I might as well get it over. The things I have to say won't wait until another day. You're a lip.
What's that?
Good, isn't it?
No.
Oh, this is going to make you so much money, Peter. We are going to do the Acid House Disco Dance Fusion version of You're a Lady, number one all over the world again.
You're a Lady is a gentle love song. Doesn't need that.
What you don't want?
No.
No. All right. Does other things. Can also be a piano. Now, I want to try an experiment with this. I want you to play the duet
that
we used to do.
Okay, right.
Go on, off you go. That's it. That this machine knows that by heart because you give it a biscuit. Put in the biscuit, press this button, and that can play it. We play it piano trio,
but just piano.
You
no
heard
noise.
It?
No noises.
No, you heard it. Just a piano. Listen, here it comes. Yeah, just a piano. My mum and dad were always very brave about me doing this for a living, but I know that deep down they wanted me to get a proper job. And the most encouraging thing that my mother ever said to me was that once she said, well, at least you're not a journalist. And this is a song about somebody, therefore, even further down the food chain than us. And it's called Keep Taking the Tabloids. One, two, three, four.
I've never wanted to be Kate Adie. That rivals long as there is chicken gravy on your rice, you know. I've never wanted to be Kate Adie. Remarkable lady though she may well be.
I've never needed to write Times leaders or baffle readers with my poetry.
No, my ambitions in the media are somewhat seedier. I want to work on a rag, I want to work on a rag, and be the man they cannot gag.
I'll write about you know who. You read it in the paper, so it must be true. I wanna work on a rag, I wanna work on a rag. You can keep your glossy mag. I wanna have fun lying in the sun. I wanna work on a rag, rag, rag. I wanna work on a rag.
I'll bug the head of the throne, filling in Camilla on his mobile phone.
I'll hear Diana cackle, a darling Mr. Carling and his crunching tackle.
Some guy bites Fergie's toes off.
20 miles away my telephoto goes off.
I'd like a tete-a-tete with every girl that Jeffrey Archer's never met.
Ha, 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 he, he, he.
Serves them right for being more famous than me.
Ha, ha, ha. Oh, oh, oh,
the public has a right to know.
I wanna work on a rag, I wanna work on a rag.
Be the man they cannot gag. Shock horror, today's front page. Tomorrow's on the bottom of the budgie's cage. I wanna work on a rag, I wanna work on a rag. Where yesterday is a drag.
I wanna have fun lying in the sun.
I wanna work on a rag, rag, rag. I wanna work on a rag.
I'm there
with my rubber neck. The victim dies, the widow cries, and I give the villain a big fat check. Big fat checks, forbidden sex. All life's callers that are rated X.
No one reads it, no one buys it, everyone denies it.
There would not be any rags, there wouldn't be any rags, or any sleazy girly mags. I wouldn't have to write the stuff if it wasn't for the readers who can't get enough. And so I'll work on a rag and have a company jag and be richer than Melvin Bragg, whoever he is.
I wanna have fun
lying in the sun.
I wanna work on a rag, rag, rag.
I wanna work on a rag. I can make you the talk of the town, build you up and then knock you down.
I want to work on another Times or Telegraph. Well, you've got to have a laugh.
I want to work on a rag.
Gotcha.
A sporting song. Now, there are lots of sporting songs. Most sporting songs are sporting songs for sports fans to sing when their team is winning. If you're an England supporter, you need a completely different sort of song, especially if you're an England cricket supporter. And this is a song really for the Barmy Army to sing to keep their spirits up this summer.
The Barmy Army marches round the world with banners saying, "Hello, Mum," unfurled. Out there in the middle, our team is on the floor. Nothing but a miracle can help us scrape a draw. But we support our country, right or wrong, which means we need a special sort of song. It isn't easy when your team makes a nightmare out of a dream. It isn't easy patiently
watching them snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
People can cheer a winning side, but singing while you're swallowing your pride takes a certain character, a certain sort of chap. It's just as well it's England who always play such crap. Other nations couldn't stand the strain of watching their team losing once again. It isn't easy when your team makes a nightmare out of a dream. It patiently watching them snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. So take the Union Jack upon your face and put your bet on England for a place. And if it all goes pear-shaped, and if the fates combine,
and we triumph by one run against the might of Liechtenstein. Then twice as loud you'll hear our voices ring, teaching our opponents how to sing. It isn't easy when your team makes a nightmare out of a dream. It isn't easy patiently watching them snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. When it comes to losing, when it comes to losing, when it comes to losing, we're the
couple of years ago, I was doing some recording, and the guitarist, who's an old friend of mine, said to me, he said, "Why have you never recorded My Romance?" And I said, "Well, because I've never heard of it." He said, "I always thought it was a great song for you." I said, "Well, I've never heard this song." He said, "It was by Rodgers and Hart, and he played this song to me. It is a wonderful song, glorious song." And I was amazed that I'd never heard it. And I play it most nights when we're doing shows, and I'm amazed how many of the audience have never heard this song either. It's one of those songs that somehow slipped by. My romance doesn't need to have a moon in the sky. My romance doesn't need a blue lagoon standing by. No month of May, no shining stars, no hideaway, no soft guitars. My romance doesn't need a castle rising in Spain, nor a dance to a constantly surprising refrain. Wide awake, make my most fantastic dreams come true. My romance doesn't need a thing, would you? Spain, nor a dance to a constantly surprising refrain. Wide awake, you make my most fantastic dreams come true. My romance doesn't need.
Back with me a couple of thousand years to a television program called Nationwide, on which I used to sit next to Valerie Singleton. They didn't pay me any money, but I was allowed to sit next to Valerie Singleton. And our job was to sort out consumer complaints sent in by viewers. That viewers would write in and say, "I have bought this pair of shoes from Revell's shoe shop, and they've fallen to bits, and what are you going to do about it?" And instead of us doing anything about it, they would get me singing, "A rotten pair of shoes from Revell. I'm afraid they do not work very well, and so I'm gonna take them back," sort of thing, which wasn't what they wanted at all. Anyway, after a couple of years of lyrics of this quality, I was inevitably spotted by Andrew Lloyd Webber, and he said, "Would I like to write a musical with him?" And I said yes, very quickly, because he's the best in the world. And the next 3 or 4 years were absolutely fascinating. The first show we did was called Starlight Express, and it's all about trains. Everybody in it is a train, and one person's been to see it. When one, and it opened in 1984 to what are called mixed reviews. That is to say that some of the critics thought it was pretty awful, and the rest of the critics thought it was absolutely appalling. And after it opened in London, it was decided to take it to Broadway. Now this was all completely new to me. I thought Broadway was in Ealing. I'd never done anything like this before, and suddenly there I was, jetting backwards and forwards across the Atlantic, meeting all these grand people, getting jet lag, getting confusion, because it was decided to rewrite Starlight Express to make sure that it didn't work in America quite as well as it had over here. And I remember one afternoon in New York, Andrew suddenly said, "I have thought of a wonderful new tune." And he went to the piano, he played this. Now, you may know that that does not appear in Starlight Express. The reason being that Andrews said, I want that to be the big ballad in Act Two. I want the Little American Train to sing it about how proud he is of being a Little American Train. And I, fighting out of my league, confused and jet-lagged, went away and wrote what I'm fairly sure is the worst lyric in the history of songwriting. This was it. You are my America. You're the eagle in my sky. You are my America. You're the apple, yes, in my pie. Which is why that song never appeared in Starlight Express. Then we started working on Phantom of the Opera. And one afternoon, Andrew suddenly said, I have thought of a wonderful new tune. And he went to the piano and he played. Now, I knew him a bit better by now, so I didn't say anything. And he said, I want that to be the big ballad in Act Two. And I said, right, fine, and went away and wrote this. Love can take you suddenly, just as no one seems to care. Time is running out for you, in the shadows, love is there. Then, as darkness closes in, like the sun that fires the morning, love will turn and smile at you, write its message in your eyes. That's the moment love will take you by surprise. Now, you probably know that that song does not appear in Phantom of the Opera. And quite right, too. It's not quite as awful as the last one, but it isn't still right. It's not right for the show. Anyway, round about this time, Andrew and I went our separate ways, and he started writing with a friend of mine called Don Black. And after a couple of weeks, I bumped into Don Black, and I said, hi, how are things going? And Don said, Andrew has written a wonderful new tune. And I said, is it the big ballad in Act Two? And Don said, no. It's the very first song you hear right at the beginning. And I went along to the first preview of Aspects of Love, and the curtain went up, a young man called Michael Ball came onto the stage, and at last, Andrew's wonderful new tune, and it is a wonderful new tune, had got the words that it needed. These are the Don Black words. Love, love changes everything, hands and faces, earth and sky. Love, love changes everything, how you live and how you die. Love can make the summer fly, make a night seem like a lifetime. Yes, love changes everything, how I tremble at your name. Nothing in the world will ever be the same. This is the bit I should have written. Nothing in the world will ever be the same.
Thank you. I'm now going to play a piece of music by Errol Garner. It's an improvised solo. Errol Garner couldn't read music, which wasn't a problem for him most times because when he was playing with other musicians, they all knew the songs, they'd just pick a key, and off they go, improvise on it, no problem. He was, however, on occasions asked if he would compose some new music for other bands, and he, in fact, wrote three film scores. Of course, because he couldn't read music, he couldn't write it down either. So the way that he did this, of course, was he would play his ideas onto a tape recorder. Then the arrangers would take away the tapes, work out each note that he played, write them down, orchestrate it, and that's the way it worked. It worked fine. In his big concerts, these big concerts were often recorded, and he would play an improvised solo, which was exactly that. It was improvised there and then. Now, these things are very complicated. He never imagined they would get written down, but one of these arrangers took the tapes away of these concerts, took the improvised solos, laboriously, painstakingly worked out each note that he played, wrote them down, and they were published in a book. I found half a dozen of these pieces a couple of years ago, and they're wonderful pieces. Now, the piece I'm going to play, I approach as I would, say, a piece of Debussy. Now, you have to remember that Debussy could get up in the morning and have his Weetabix and start writing, work all day, go to bed at night, get up the next day, carry on writing till he was happy with the piece, then it would go off to the publishers, then it would be heard. Errol Garner wrote these things there and then on stage, which is a remarkable feat of pianistic skills and improvisation skills. And the piece I'm going to play is called Gaslight. I've always been very fond of country and western music. I think it must have something to do with caravanning. But I've always enjoyed the simplicity of those songs. They're very well crafted. They're very hard to write, that simple. And I'm going to play one of my favorite country and western ballads.
Put your sweet lips a little closer to the phone. Let's pretend that we're together all alone. I'll tell the man to turn the jukebox way down low. you can tell your friend there with you, he'll have to go. Whisper to me, tell me, do you love me true? Or is he holding you the way I do? Though love is blind, make up your mind, I gotta know. Should I hang up, or will you tell him he'll have to go? You can say the words I wanna hear when you're with another man. Darling, is it yes or no? Tell me, I will understand. Put your sweet lips a little closer to the phone. Let's pretend that we're together all alone. I'll tell the man to turn the jukebox way down low, and you can tell your friend there with you, he'll have to go.
If you write songs to order, you get ordered to write songs by all sorts of people. I mean, obviously, television programs, radio programs. Quite often, firms want a song for the firm's conference, occasional song for a wedding or a birthday. And about 4 months ago, I got a phone call from somebody in the Church of England who said, would I write some stuff for them? Because that's how they talk in the Church of England now. And I couldn't think of anything for ages. And then a couple of weeks ago, this idea arrived. And this is a song the Church of England has needed for some time. Mrs. Beamish stands in church, expression calm and holy. And when the organ plays, she mumbles hymns extremely slowly. A pillar of St. Botolph's for 20 years or more. She does the flowers at Easter and the brasswork on the door. But recently St. Botolph's has gained a brand new vicar. His name is Ken, he's single and he wants the hymn sung quicker. And he's introduced a custom which Mrs. Beamish hates. So she rounds upon the person next to her and clearly states, don't you dare shake hands with me or offer signs of peace. You lay a finger on me and I'll send for the police. Don't whisper, peace be with you, this is the C of E. So bend the knee, say thou and thee, and keep your hands off me. Ken tells us, love your neighbour, and Mrs. Beamish sneers. I only love my neighbours if I've known them 30 years. Even when it isn't Christmas, he lets youngsters in the church. He's altered all the music after audience research. They shout out Alleluia. They don't act like me and you. The young women don't wear hats, and the young men quite often do. And they seem to like their hands enthusiastically wrung, till they turn to Mrs. Beamish and they feel her acid tongue. Don't you dare shake hands with me, I don't know where you've been. You lay a finger on me and you'll feel this tambourine. Don't whisper, peace be with you, this is the C of E. So bend the knee, say thou and thee, and keep your hands off me.
In the beginning was the word, read out loud by thought I heard. Harry Secombe then would scream, morning is broken by a stream. Now the organ's gone for scrap, every vicar's got the clap. Hallelujah, Mrs. Beamish, Mrs. Beamish. Hallelujah, she's squeamish, so squeamish. Don't you dare shake hands with me, or turn to me and smile. You'll wake up spitting teeth out, face downwards in the aisle. Don't whisper, peace be with you, this is the COE. You go just one inch too far, you'll end up wearing that guitar. One false step in my direction, you'll need to believe in the resurrection. So bend the knee, say thou and thee, and keep your hands off me.
This next song is the first song that Peter ever wrote for the two of us to sing together. And I love it.
You may find me amusing or simply passive, or too sentimental or tired of my way of singing those love songs that haunt from the past. Call me naive, but I thought they might last. You may think me a fool, but then aren't we all? For we laugh at the lover until we recall that now and again we too aren't so wise. We've all of us lost ourselves in her eyes and told her that love lies so deep in our heart that nothing and no one will drive us apart. But then, as we grow older, we keep all that down and laugh at the lover and cry with the clown.
You may think I feel nothing, it's all such a lark, and the man's a fool who's afraid of the dark. And the bigger they come, well, the harder they fall. Those who it hurts laugh the loudest of all. So I joke and I jest and I bring the house down. Do I laugh at the lover? Of course, I'm the clown.
For the pain that we feel from love or despair, we hide from the world and appear not to care. We put on brave faces and laugh at this life, and wound with our giants that cut like a knife. And pretend we don't care that we let ourselves down. So we laugh at the lover and cry with the clown.
We're going to finish with a piano duet for which we have taken off our jackets. Not because it's specially difficult, but because it used to be the signature tune for the snooker.
Thank you. I'm Tim.
I'm Andy.
We work as quick fit fitters every day. Every night we go out drinking, but then we got to thinking, this is really, really boring. We can't go on this way. There's no to do in Bolton, your describer's life enhancing. Our lives are in a rut, we were fed up with it, but then we discovered line dancing. Now we, till we get it right, every Saturday night in the miner's arms with Kim and Sandy. We'll swap oily rags and boiler suits for cowboy hats and cowboy boots. Cause on Saturday night he's Slim and I'm Randy. Ooh-wee, it's fine again. Cause on Saturday night he's Slim and I'm Randy. I love this dance, I love the clothes, they make me look real neat. I love me brand new Wranglers and me shirt with dingly danglers, but all these boots, they don't all kill me feet. Got me feet, me achy breaky feet. We want to go and strut our stuff in Nashville, Tennessee, and give up quick fit fitting to become a real big hitting. L-I-N-E-D-A-N-C-I-N-G. We'll go till we get it right, every Saturday night in the Longhorn Bar with Kim and Sandy. We'll swap hockey rags and boiler suits for cowboy hats and cowboy boots. Cause on Saturday night he's Slim and I'm Randy. Ooh-wee, it's fine and dandy, cause on Saturday night he's Slim and I'm Randy. Get it right, every Saturday night in the Longhorn Bar with Kim and Sandy. We'll swap oily rags and boiler suits for cowboy hats and cowboy boots. Cause on Saturday night he's Slim and I'm Randy. Ooh-wee, it's fine and dandy, cause on Saturday night he's Slim and I'm Randy.
There's an old tradition in show business. After the last number, you go and stand in the wings for 2 seconds, then try and get back onto the stage before the clapping has stopped. We damn close some nights, I can tell you. Aberystwyth, we never made it at all.
Well, of
course. Incidentally, that last number, for the last year or so, Peter has been making regular visits to Nashville to write songs with the country music greats, honestly, truthfully. And so far, that song is the result.
Well, you've got to start somewhere, and that's it.
You will also have spotted that on several occasions this evening, I have prevented Peter from singing one particular song. A song that I know you would like to hear. Quite right, too. So you shall. Lovely song. We have a tiny logistical problem with it in that there are the two of us. And Peter has made what I think is an amazingly generous suggestion here, that he should play it, and I, as a great treat for me, get to sing the song that will forever be associated with the name of Peter Skellen. Where do you go to, my lovely? What's the matter?
It's the wrong song.
I've learnt it.
It's the wrong song.
It's right, I'll cover up. They won't know.
It's not my song.
It's all right. No, I'll deal with it. Don't worry. Just play it. Just play it. He wants to do his other song. Everything seems wrong. There are things in this lonely room that somehow don't belong. Oh God, I feel so embarrassed. I have not done this before. I have entered the wrong cloakroom door. This is the ladies. I'm a man. Where are you supposed to stand? Oh, what's the matter? Oh, sit down. Sit down. Sit. Would you by any chance prefer it if he sang it? So would I. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Skellen, and you're a lady.
Magic and love.
out my chair. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. And so I say with no restraint. To close the show, we didn't want a ballad or a waltz.
We want to leave you with pizzazz and chutzpah, not with schmaltz.
We need a big show stopper, a copper-bottomed pop.
We know it's bound to stop the show, cause after it, we stop. So finally, before we let you slink off to your beds, here is what we reckon is running through your heads. Have they reach the last song?
The program doesn't say. I bet outside it's raining.
Is the car far away?
We should have gone to Cats again. It's worth the extra money.
After what we've seen tonight, Jeffrey Archer's funny.
Did you book the restaurant? Is it one I know?
At least we're sure that supper can't be worse than the show.
I couldn't stand the bearded one.
I hated his fat friend.
Come on, darling, I think that's the end.
Hang on, oh blast, they're going to do another. We must be back by midnight, I promised your mother.
I can't find my shoes, I've had a good hunt.
Oh, you stupid woman, look under the seat in front.
They've gone up a semitone, that's a good sign. It usually means we're near the end of the line. I can see the man whose job is to make the curtain descend. Come on, darling, I think that's the end.
They've come back. They're going to do more. It's called a false exit. I've seen one before. They'll flash the lights in time now. Honestly, look. It's pathetic. You can read them like a book. We'll have to get a taxi. We'll never get the train. I only hope they don't decide to sing it once again. Why the neighbors liked this, I cannot comprehend.
Come on, darling, I think that's the end.
We're trying to say,
get off the stage, please go away.
Can't you see while you two are revamping your bars? Outside in the street, the police are clamping our cars.
I only hope they stop before we go around the bend.
naturally